بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ألم تر أن الله يسجد له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض والشمس والقمر والنجوم والجبال والشجر والدواب وكثير من الناس وكثير حق عليه العذاب ومن يهن الله فما له من مكرم إن الله يفعل ما يشاء.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار. خلق الله عز وجل الإنسان في أحسن تقويم، صحيحا سويا، وجعل الله عز وجل له في هذه الحياة ما يكون عونا له على بقائه، بقاء حياته واستمرار صحته وسلامته. وفي المقابل حذر الله عز وجل وحذر رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمة الإسلام والناس من تعاطي الأغذية والمطعومات المضرة بأجسادهم وأرواحهم، من تعاطي كل نجس وكل خبيث. فكان من مهمة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أخبر الله عز وجل عنه، ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث، لأن الجسد الأصل أن يتغذى لبقائه وسلامته على الطيبات، وأن يجتنب الخبائث والنجاسات والمحرمات. ولهذا أمر الله عز وجل المؤمنين بما أمر به المرسلين، فقال جل من قائل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون، إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير، إلى آخر الآية. وأمر المرسلين فقال: يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا. فالطيبات غذاء صالح نافع يقوى به الجسد ويستمر ويستقيم، وخلافه أي النجاسات والخبائث تفتك بالجسد والروح وتكون سببا في هجوم الأمراض المزمنة والفتاكة على جسم الإنسان، فتخرجه من حالة الصحة إلى حالة المرض، لأن الأصل في الإنسان الصحة والعافية، لأن الله عز وجل خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. الناس يولدون صحاء أقوياء في عافية تامة، فمتى ما خرجوا عن هذه الحالة إلى حالة المرض كان لابد من أن يبحثوا عن علاج لأجسادهم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم البر الرحيم الرحمة المهداة ما ترك خيرا دنيويا وأخرويا بدنيا وروحيا حسيا ومعنويا إلا دل أمته عليه، وما ترك شرا إلا حذر أمته منه، كما في حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال: ما بعث الله من نبي إلا كان حقا عليه أن يدل أمته على كل خير يعلمه لهم، وما بعث الله من نبي إلا كان حقا عليه أن يحذر أمته من كل شر يعلمه لهم. حتى قال أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه: ما ترك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيرا إلا دلنا عليه حتى قضاء الحاجة، أو حتى الخراء يعني قضاء الحاجة، كيف الإنسان يقضي حاجته؟ الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام علم أمته قضاء الحاجة. وتقول عائشة: ما طار طير في السماء وبسط جناحيه إلا علمنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منه علما. فالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام بلغ البلاغ المبين ونصح النصح نصح الصادق الأمين، ودل على كل خير وحذر من كل شر، من جملة ما دل عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمته أدلها على الحفاظ على صحتها وندبها إلى استعمال ما تستقيم به عافية أبدانها وأرواحها، بل أمرها أمر إيجاب، أمر إيجاب حينما يقول ربنا: ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث. فهذا أمر إيجاب، أن الإنسان يجب عليه أن يبتعد عن كل خبيث، كل نجس، كل حرام، لأنه مضر بالإنسان بالمسلم شرعا وعقلا وبدنا وروحا. فالنبي نبينا الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء بعثه الله عز وجل، والعرب تستعمل علاجات وأدوية.
The Sheikh, after starting by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and testifying that there is no true God except He and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger, mentioning the speech of the need, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human in the best shape or in the best form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the human safe, made him sound or having good health. And good in terms of his body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the human being in this life things that will help him to continue to be alive and for his health to continue to be good. Also, on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned, and also His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned the Ummah of Al-Islam, the Muslim nation, and also the others, the other humans, they warned them from consuming foods that are harmful to their bodies and their souls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited consuming everything that is najis, impure, or khabith, filthy. Part of the job or the duty of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, as mentioned in the Quran, He allows for them things that are pure and prohibits for them things that are impure or filthy. That is because the principle is that the human being should use for food and nourishment for his body, he should consume the pure and lawful things and to leave the filthy, the impure, and the prohibited things. And Allah Azza wa Jal, exactly as He ordered the believers to eat from things that are pure and good, He ordered also the messengers to eat of the things that are pure and good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what means, O you who believe, eat of the good things, that we, the lawful things that we have provided for you. And be thankful to Allah if you truly worship Him. He only prohibited for you the intoxicants and gambling and what the name of other than Allah was mentioned on it, and the dig, and the ayah goes on. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what means regarding the messengers or regarding the prophets. All prophets eat, all messengers eat of the good things and do righteous deeds. So the same order was given to the messengers and to the believers. The Sheikh said that consuming filthy or impure things or foods causes the human being to become sick, and his health will vanish. The principle is that people should be healthy and completely healthy, but then if they are in a condition that is other than being healthy, being sick, then they would have to look now and search for some sort of a cure, some sort of a medicine for their bodies. The Prophet ﷺ, who is merciful, who is described as a mercy that is given as a gift to mankind, rahmah from death, he did not leave anything that is good. He did not leave anything that is good, whether it is good in this life or for the next life, good for the soul or the body, good for the people morally or physically. He did not leave any good except that he guided his ummah to it. And he did not leave anything that is evil or bad except that he warned his ummah against it. The Shaykh mentioned the hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, which says what means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never sent a prophet except that it is a must upon him to guide his nation to every good that he knows for him. And he said also that Allah never sent a prophet except that it is a must upon him to warn them against every evil that he knows for them. To a point that one of the companions, radiallahu anhum, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us everything. Even he mentioned the manners of relieving oneself, how to use the bathroom. And also another companion said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pass away except that every bird that is flying and moving his wing in the sky, except that he told us about it something, some sort of, or some piece of knowledge about it. Basically, these two narrations show that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in details to the Ummah the things that will benefit them. The Shaykh said that the Prophet ﷺ guided the Ummah to every good, and he warned them from every evil. And part of these things that, or the matters that Rasulullah mentioned to the Ummah or taught the Ummah, the affairs relating to keeping one's health, rather in some of these orders that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned or that are found in the Quran, that will keep one to be healthy, part of these orders, like what the Shaykh mentioned earlier, he repeated the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed for the believers what is good and pure, and prohibited for them what is filthy or impure. And this order here, it is an order that is compulsory to be followed. It is an order that is compulsory to be followed, and within it there is the prohibition of everything that is harmful for the intellect or harmful for the soul.
إذا كان الإنسان عرضة للأمراض والأوجاع والأوبئة بسبب طعامه وشرابه وهوائه وبسبب فساد البيئة التي جنى الإنسان بيديه على البيئة وعلى الإنسان، فلا بد للإنسان أو لا بد للمسلم شرعا وعقلا أن يبحث عن علاج لأمراضه الظاهرة والباطنة والحسية والعقلية والروحية، وهذا أمر واجب عليه وهو مأمور به شرعا ومأمور به شرعا. ومن نعم الله عز وجل أنه هو الشافي، فهو جل جلاله كما قال عن إبراهيم: وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين. كيف يدرك العبد قيمة الشفاء إلا حينما يهجم عليه المرض؟ كيف يدرك الصحيح قيمة العافية إلا إذا عانى من المرض؟ ولهذا قالوا: الصحة تاج على رؤوس الأصحاء، لا يبصره إلا المرضى. والعافية ملك خفي، العافية ملك خفي. وقالوا: كم من نعمة لله تحت عرق ساكن. ومن هنا جاءت الآية: تحت عرق ساكن، لكل عرق ساكن، يعني لا يتألم، يعني هذا ناظر. ومن هنا جاءت الآيات الحديث الحاثة على التداوي طلب العلاج، من ذلك قوله تعالى: وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين قل هو للذين آمنوا هدى وشفاء يخرج من بطونها شراب مختلف ألوان فيه شفاء للناس. بين الله عز وجل أن الشفاء بالقرآن وبالعسل وبغير ذلك. ومنه الحديث النبوي: إذا كان الشفاء في شيء ففي ثلاثة: شرطة محجم، ولعقة عسل، وكية نار، ولا أحب أن أكتوي. وأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمته بطلب العلاج والدواء، لأنه ما من داء إلا له دواء، علمه من علمه وجهله من جهله. إذا كان كل داء له دواء إلا السأم، إلا الهرم، إلا الموت، فمعنى ذلك عليك يا من ابتليت بالمرض أن تسعى لعلاج نفسك، تسعى لعلاج نفسك، لأنك إن عدت إلى حالتك الأولى من الصحة استعنت بذلك على طاعة الله. ومن هنا جاء قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله تعالى من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير. فسلامة الأبدان في سلامة الأديان. إذا كنت سليما صحيحا قويا استطيع أن تأتي إلى المسجد. لولا ما من الله به علينا وعليكم من عافية ما استطعنا أن نجلس هذا المجلس المبارك. فمن هنا جاء القرآن والسنة تدعونا إلى أن نطلب العلاج ونطلب الدواء ونطلب العافية. بل بيّن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن العافية نعمة عظيمة ينبغي للمؤمن أن يسألها. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسأل ربه العافية: اللهم إني أسألك العفو والعافية، اللهم إني أسألك العفو والعافية في ديني ودنياي. وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يا عباس لعم العباس: سل الله العافية فما أعطي أحد مثل العافية. وكان يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم مبينا فضل العافية: من أصبح آمنا في سربه معافا في جسده عنده قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا بحذافيرها. آمنا في سربه يعني في مسكنه، معافا في بدنه يعني لا يشكو مرضا، لا مرض بدني ولا مرض روحي ولا مرض نفسي ولا مرض عقلي، عنده قوت يومه فقط ما يكفيه ليومه، فهو ملك عظيم أعظم ملوك الأرض، لأن لا يوجد ملك يملك الدنيا كلها. كأنما حيزت له الدنيا بحذافيرها. ولهذا في الحديث أول ما يسأل المؤمن يوم القيامة من النعيم أن يقول الله له أو أن يقال له: ألم أصح بدنك وأروك من الماء البارد؟ ألم أصح بدنك، هذه من أعظم النعم، وأروك من الماء البارد. من هنا إخواني يعني طلب العافية مقصود شرعا، والسعي على توفير العافية هذا أمر مطلوب، وطلب الطبيب والمعالج طبيب الحاذق هذا أمر أيضا مطلوب شرعا. ولهذا من هجم على الطب من غير أن يتأهل ويتخصص فقد ارتكب بابا من أبواب الكبائر وارتكب إثما. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من تطبب وليس بطبيب فهو ضامن. إنسان يدعي الطب وهو لم يتأهل ولم يجاز ولم يعرف بطب فأتلف عضوا أو قطع عضوا أو سبب إعاقة أو قتل نفسا فهو ضامن، ولكن لا يقاد منه. قال العلماء: لا يقاد منه، بمعنى لا يقتل به، لأنه إنما فعل ذلك باختيار المريض وليس أمرا عنه. إذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: تداووا عباد الله فإن الله ما أنزل من داء إلا جعله دواء، إذن هذا فيه تقوية للنفس وشحر للهمم وللنفوس المريضة أن تبحث عن علاجها وأن لا تيأس، وأنه إذا عجز هذا الطبيب عن علاجك فقد لا يعجز الآخر، وأنك ينبغي أن تهتم وتعتني بمعالجة أمراضك وتبحث عن الطبيب الأحذق. لهذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني يوصي بالطبيب الأحذق، وكان يوصي بالحارث بن كلدة طبيب العرب، يرسل بعض الصحابة ليعالجهم. فإذا كان البحث عن الدواء وطلب العافية عبادة نتقرب به إلى الله عز وجل، لأننا نستعين على عافية أبداننا وأرواحنا بطاعة الله وتقوى الله. فإذا كان كذلك فإذا لا ينبغي أن نقول كما تقول الصوفية أنه وإذا مرض فهو يشفيه، وأن الإنسان ينبغي ألا يبحث عن الطبيب وعن العلاج لأنه كل شيء بقدر. إذا كان الأمر كذلك فهل تركنا الأكل والشراب؟ وقلنا إن الله عز وجل يطعمنا ويسقينا، وإلا تركنا العمل والبحث عن الضرب في الأرض، البحث عن الرزق بحجة أن الرزق في السماء وأن الله يرزقنا؟ لا. هل تركنا تزوج النساء بحجة أن الله قادر على أن يرزقنا الأولاد؟ هناك سنن لله عز وجل في الكون لا بد أن نسلكها ولا بد أن نأخذ بها.
The Sheikh said that since the human being may be exposed to different sicknesses and ailments because of the food or the drink that he is consuming, or the air or the environment in which he lives in, this environment that the human beings committed crimes against it, against the environment and against other humans. Since one may get sick because of the surroundings or the foods that he consumes, then it is the Muslim must legally and intellectually look for a cure for the sicknesses, the inward and the outward sicknesses, physical or moral sicknesses, and this is something that is compulsory on him. To look for the cure, and this is something that he is ordered to do legally in terms of legislation. Allah legislated for him to do that. From the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal is that he is the healer, he is a shafi, as in the Quran from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, on the tongue of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, that he said, if I get sick, then he, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who heals me. The Shaykh said, how would the human being, how can he comprehend or understand the value of being healed or being healthy, except if he experiences sickness? This is why it is said in the Proverbs that health resembles a crown. Health resembles a crown on the heads of the people who are healthy. But nobody is able to see this crown except the sick people. Also, it is said that al-afiyah, having health, being healthy, is something that you own, is something that you own, but then it's like a hidden treasure that you own. It's like a hidden treasure. Being healthy is a hidden treasure. Also, they said, how many of a favor that Allah bestowed upon the humans under every vein, under every vein. Asked the Shaykh what it means. Basically, he said that every vein in your body, every artery or every channel in which blood runs, it is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, that this channel or vein or artery is not in pain and is not aching. That is a favor of Allah upon you, but then it is hidden and you do not really see it. Because of this reason, the Shaykh said, the importance of health, because of this, many texts from the Quran and the Sunnah came encouraging the people to seek the cure for their ailments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what means we reveal of the Quran that which is a healing. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what means say it is, that is the Quran, for the believers a source of guidance and healing. It is guidance and healing for the believers, that is the Quran. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the bees, about the honey that comes from their bellies, that in it there is a healing for mankind. So here you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions healing through the Quran and through the honey. And there are other things that are mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah. One example is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says, if there was healing in anything, it would be in three types of medicine or cure, types of cure. One of them is cupping, bloodletting, and the second one is the honey, and the third one is fire, using the fire being touched or burned by the fire. And the Sheikh said, and the hadith goes on to say, and I do not like to perform the kayf. Who knows the word for kayf in English?
Branding.
Okay. The third one is the branding. Basically, a piece of metal is, you know, put on the fire. It becomes hot. Then you place it on the body part that is aching. Branding. So the third one is branding. Rasulullah said, and I do not like to perform the branding or to use the branding. Also, the Prophet ﷺ ordered his ummah to seek the cure and to seek the medicine, because there is no sickness except that it has a cure. Those who know it, know it, and those who are ignorant of it, they are ignorant of it, except for one sickness, and that is death. And that is death. There is no cure for that. So it is upon you, the Sheikh said, it is upon you to strive to find a cure for yourself. Because if you are sick and then you get healed, then you will use this state of health to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, and in each one of them there is good. So the bodies, if they are healthy, this will lead to the religion being healthy. That is because the Sheikh said, if you are healthy, then you can go to the masjid and wear it not for the favor that Allah bestowed upon us, the favor of health that Allah bestowed upon us. Were it not for that, then we wouldn't have been able to sit in this blessed gathering. So it is upon the believer to strive hard to achieve the state of health, or being healthy. For health is a great bounty that the believer even should ask, as Rasulullah ﷺ used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Allahumma saluka al-afiyah. He used to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make him healthy. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, ordered his uncle Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, he told him, ask for help. Ask Allah to make you healthy, for no one was given a favor better than, or a thing better than being healthy. Also, in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what means, the one who woke up in the morning and he is safe within his home, and he is also healthy in terms of his body, and he has the provision, the sustenance for his day, then it is as if all the worldly pleasures have been gathered for him together. The Sheikh said that if you are safe and secure in your home, and if you don't have any sickness, no mental sickness and no physical or psychological sickness, and you have the food for your day, then it's as if you are a king. It's as if you are a king, because there is no king who has all, who owns everything in the world. No king owns everything in the world. But for you, as a person, if you have these three things secured for yourself, then it is as if you are a king, as if the whole worldly pleasures were gathered together for you. The Shaykh went on to say, to mention another hadith which says and shows how important the health is. It says that one of the first things that the human being will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is for him to be told by Allah Azza wa Jal, "Didn't I make your body healthy? Didn't I quench your thirst with cold water?" So the Shaykh said that to seek the status of being healthy, this is something required, Islamically speaking, required legally, and to strive hard to bring health for yourself, this is also required. For you to seek a skilled doctor, a skillful medical doctor, this is something required legally. This is why the one who embarks on practicing medicine without him really being specialized in the subject, then he has committed a major sin. He has committed a major sin. And the Shaykh mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that says what means. The one who practiced medicine while he was not known to be someone who knows medicine, and he is an impostor doctor, medical doctor. He is not really a doctor, but he was playing this role. Then he is ba'min, he is liable. He is liable. So if he basically destroys or mutilates a body part or causes the person to be handicapped because of whatever he did to him, or because of the person, or even if he made that person die or led him to die because, or caused him to die because of whatever he did to him, then he is liable. He is liable, he has to pay for whatever harm he caused. The Shaykh said, if he killed someone, will he be killed like the killer? The Shaykh said, no, because he practiced with the permission. He practiced with the permission of the sick person. So he is not killed because he killed someone, but he is liable in terms of blood money. He is liable for whatever damage he causes. The Shaykh then mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which says what means, "O servants of Allah, seek the medicine, seek the cure." And in this, the Shaykh said, there is an encouragement from Rasulullah ﷺ to search and to pursue the doctor, the good doctor. And you go to different doctors, you go to the doctor, the first doctor, and he was unable to find a cure, then you go to another one, and like that you keep searching and looking for the one who is skillful, the skilled doctor, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send the Sahaba radiallahu anhu to a doctor who was known within the Arabs to be experienced and skillful doctor. His name was Al-Harith ibn Kalida. Rasulullah ﷺ used to send the Sahaba to seek the medical treatment at his hands, as he used to be someone who is a skillful doctor. The Shaykh said that we should not say like the Sufis say, they use the ayah in the wrong way. They would say, as what was mentioned about Ibrahim, "If I get sick, then he is the one who would heal me." They will say, they get sick, he is the one who would heal me. Since he predestined this to me, then there is no point in trying to seek a cure. He will heal me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said, if this understanding of theirs was correct, then why then wouldn't we leave the food? Leave eating, don't eat food. And let us leave also looking for a job. Let's not work, because He will provide for us and He will give us the food and the sustenance. Let us say then that we will not marry women, because if Allah wants us to have children, then we will definitely have them, as Allah predestined this. So, unlike that. This is a wrong understanding. The Shaykh said there are laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set forth in the universe. Laws in the universe, causes leading to their effects, and we have to apply or act upon these causes, these universal causes that Allah created to lead to their effects.
علم الطب يعني قديم، منذ أن وجد الإنسان وهو يسعى لدفع الأمراض عن نفسه، إما بالإلهام وإما بالتجربة وإما بالصدفة أو بالاستعانة بالشياطين والكهنة وغير ذلك. ولا شك ولا ريب أن هذا حرام لا يقره الإسلام. أما طب الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وهو ما يسمى بالطب النبوي أو الطب الإسلامي فهو من وحي الله، من وحي الكتاب ومن وحي السنة. والعلماء يقولون هناك نحو 40 آية في القرآن بشأن الطب، وأنا أقول إنها أكثر من ذلك بكثير. أما الأحاديث فلعلها تبلغ المئات إن لم تبلغ أكثر من ذلك. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق لا ينطق عن الهوى، إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. طبه صلى الله عليه وسلم طب معصوم، لا يأتيه الباطل بين يديه ولا من خلفه. طبه صلى الله عليه وسلم من وحي الله، يفيد وينفع ولا يضر، بينما طب الآخرين قد يفيد إنسان ويضر بالآخرين، وقد يكون له غوائل يفيد من جانب ويؤذي من جوانب أخرى، ككثير من الأدوية التي تسحب من السوق ومن التداول بعد سنين بعد أن تثري الشركات الصانعة فراء فاحشة، وهم يعلمون أن لهذا الدواء مضار أخرى، قد يسبب عقما، قد يسبب قرحة، قد يسبب كذا وكذا، ولكنه من أجل المال والتجارة والجشع يتداولونه سنين، حتى إذا شاع خطره وضرره سحبوه من السوق. أما طب الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام فهو طب قائم على الأعشاب والأذكار ومركب من الاثنين. يعني طب الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقوم على الأدوية الإلهية، الأذكار التي تقي الإنسان الأمراض النفسية والأرواح الشيطانية يعني تشرح صدره للإيمان، وأيضا استعمال الأعشاب النافعة التي أوصى بها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ووصفها. فقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يستعمل التلبينة للمحزون، هذا من الطب النبوي. والتلبينة هو حساء الشعير، كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يستعمل الحناء، كل من اشتكى آلاما في رجليه قال اخضبهما بالحناء، وكل من اشتكى آلاما في رأسه قال احتجب. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يستعمل الماء البارد على السحر وقت السحر لأن أصابه الحمى، واستعمل صلى الله عليه وسلم الكمى وهو مش بالفطر، الكمى من المن وماءه شفاء العين، واستعمل صلى الله عليه وسلم السواك لسلامة الأسنان واللثة، واستعمل صلى الله عليه وسلم الكحل كحل الإسمد، وقال إنه ينبت الشعر ويحد البصر أو يجلو البصر، وغير ذلك من علاجات نبوية واردة وثابتة في السنة. وأخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن بالحبة السوداء شفاء من كل داء، وأن القسط الهندي فيه سبعة أشفية من أدواء من سبعة أدوية، وأنه خير علاج لتضخم اللوزتين بالنسبة للأطفال. قال العلماء الذين ألفوا في الطب النبوي إن طريقة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام في العلاجات على ثلاثة أنواع: طريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو قواعد طب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، هناك يعني ثلاث قواعد. القاعدة الأولى حفظ الصحة، وهذا قد نص عليه القرآن، قال الله تعالى: فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخرى. فلما كان إنسان مريض أو مسافر والصيام والحركة تتعبه وتسبب له أمراضا، فعافاه الله عز وجل من الصيام حال السفر وحال المرض. والقاعدة الثانية الحمي عن المؤذي، كان الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يحمي المريض عما يؤذيه، لهذا لما أراد علي أن يأكل من دوالي كانت معلقة قطف البلح، فقال له: يا علي إنك ناقل، لا يناسبك هذا، أصب من هذا، وأمر له بالشعير والسلك، حساء من شعير وسلك، قال: أصب من هذا. الحمي عن المؤذي أشار إليه ربنا عز وجل في قوله: فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا. فلم تجدوا ماء، المقصود هنا ليس أنكم لم تجدوا ماء فقط، وإنما تجدون ماء ويضركم استعماله، فتلجؤون إلى الصعيد الطيب تتيمموا رحمة بكم. فهذا هو الحمي عن المؤذي. القاعدة الثالثة وهي موضوع حديثنا: استفراغ المادة الفاسدة من الجسم، وعلى رأس ذلك استفراغ الدم المتبيغ، استفراغ الدم الفاسد من جسم الإنسان الذي إذا هاج عليه ربما قتله وسبب له أضرار كثيرة. استفراغ المادة الفاسدة أشار إليه ربنا عز وجل بقوله: فإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر، أشار إليه ربنا عز وجل بقول: فمن كان منكم مريضا أو به أذى من رأسه ففدية من صيام أو صدقة أو نسك. وجاء في مناسبة هذه الآية صحابي في الحج كان محرما وكان يتساقط القمل من رأسه على وجهه، فقال له النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: أتؤذيك هوام؟ قال: نعم. فأمره أن يحلق شعر رأسه حتى يزيل المادة الفاسدة، المادة الرديئة التي خرجت من معدته واجتمعت في قشرة رأسه، فكانت مرتعا خصبا وخيما لهذه الحشرات الطارة. فكان حلق الرأس قضاء على استفراغ للمادة الأبخرة الفاسدة المجتمعة في الرأس. والأطباء يقولون هناك يعني عشر أشياء إذا اجتمعت، إذا تحبست في جسم الإنسان فإنها تضره كل واحدة بحسبها: الدم إذا هاج، وإذا هاد الدم يكون علاجه بالحجامة استفراغ المادة الفاسدة. الدم إذا هاد هذا يقتل الإنسان، يسبب له الجلطات، فلا بد من تفريغ هذا الدم واستخراجه بالحجامة أو بالفصل. المني إذا تبين، المني إذا ازداد على الإنسان يسبب له يعني تورم ويسبب له ألم شديد ويسبب له يعني أمراض معينة يعرفها الأطباء المختصون. ثالثا احتباس البول، إذا احتبس البول ماذا يسبب للإنسان من أمراض. ولهذا الصحابة لما قاموا على ذاك الأعرابي يريد أن يقعوا به الذي بال في المسجد، الرسول زجره قال لا تزرموه، يعني لا تحبسوا عليه بوله، لأن هذا يسبب له مرضا خطيرا، قد يسبب له يعني فشلا كلويا، أو يسبب له يعني حصرا بوليا، أو يسبب له أمراض لا يعلمها إلا الله. الغائط أيضا لما الإنسان يصاب بالإمساك ولا يستطيع أن يخرج، لابد للإنسان يعني في 24 ساعة أن يخرج مرتين أقل تقدير. أما إذا مرت أيام، 5 أيام، 6 أيام، 10 أيام، فهذا يسبب له عطبا، ويسبب له يعني أمراض سوداوية، ويسبب له تجمع السموم في جسده، وبالتالي يعني يؤدي هذا إلى مرض خطير والعياذ بالله، قد يؤدي إلى سرطانات والعياذ بالله، لأن هذا خبث ونجاسة وسم، سم إذا اجتمع واحتبس وما خرج. ولهذا في الدعاء إذا الإنسان خرج من الخلاء يقول الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى وعافاني. كذلك الريح، الغاز إذا احتبس في الإنسان ممكن يسبب له أمراض شديدة، لما الإنسان يكون يعني بطنه مليء بالريح لا يستطيع أن ينام ولا يستطيع أن يمشي ولا يستطيع أن يقر له قرار. كذلك القيء حينما يحتبس الإنسان عنده غثيان ولا يستطيع أن يتقيأ، هذا أيضا يسبب له دوار ويسبب له صداع ويسبب له ألم. كذلك العطاس، العطاس هذا نعمة من نعم الله، ولهذا لما الإنسان يعطس يحمد الله، والإنسان سبحان الله من رحمة الله به لما يعطس يغمض عينيه تلقائيا، لأنه لو كان يعني عيناه مفتحة ربما يعني يصيب جحوظ أو يصيب نزيف في عينيه أو يصيب أمراض. وهذا العطاس يعني قوة شديدة جدا يخرج هذا الريح المصحوب بال يعني رطوبات، هذه تكون مفتحة للسدد، مفتحة للسدد. يعني ذكروا أن رجلا كان أشلا فيه شلل، فبسبب عطس عادت إليه عافيته، والنوم الإنسان إذا هجم عليه نوم ولم ينام هذا أيضا يزعجه، يسبب له أمراض، فلابد من النوم، لابد من الراحة. الجوع، إذا الإنسان جاع وما أكل لابد أن يأكل، لأن احتباس هذا يعني شهوة الجوع وعدم أخذ حق الإنسان هذا يسبب له أيضا يعني أمراضا كثيرة، ممكن يصير عنده قرحة، يصير عنده انهيار، سقوط، وهكذا. كذلك العطش، العطش يسبب الجفاف، يسبب الأمراض، فلا بد. فهذه 10 أشياء يعني احتباسها يؤدي إلى أمراض مؤذية وقاتلة.
The chef said that the science of medicine is an old science, and since the human being was on earth, the human was looking hard or searching hard to push away the sickness from himself, either by being inspired to have a cure or by experience, the experiences that he went through, or by just coincidence that he used something and it worked for him, or some people would use also something that is definitely prohibited in the religion of Islam, and that is seeking the cure through seeking the help from the Satans and the fortune tellers and the likes of that. As for the prophetic medicine, then it is a revelation. It is the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ. And the scholars say that there is about 40 texts that speak about medicine in the Sunnah. The Sheikh says, I say that the statements of the Prophet ﷺ regarding this are much more than 40. قالوا النصوص The Sheikh said that the scholars say that there's about 40 verses in the Quran speaking about medicine. But then the Sheikh said, I say that there are more than that actually. As for the ahadith, then there are a lot. They reach about hundreds of ahadith. The medicine of the Prophet ﷺ is an infallible medicine. No falsehood comes to it. That is because it is part of the revelation that Allah revealed. So it is beneficial and it never harms. As for the medicine of other than the Prophet ﷺ, then it may help in terms of some people and it might harm others, or it might help the person in one aspect and then it would have side effects that will harm him in the other side. Maybe it will cause one to end up not being able to have children, or it will cause him another sickness like an ulcer or something like that. The Sheikh said, like, there are many companies that manufacture medicine and they make a lot of money out of that. And many times those companies, they know that the medicine or the drug that they put in the market, it may cure some things, but it has serious side effects. They may know about that, but they keep quiet about it because they want material gain. So the situation continues to be like that for years until the matter becomes widespread, a lot of people get sick, and then after that it will be withdrawn from the markets. The medicine of the Prophet ﷺ is based upon the godly types of cures. These are the adhkar, the dhikr from the Quran and the Sunnah. These dhikr that wipe out the sicknesses that come from the Satans, and also it makes the heart strong and sound. Also, it is based on using the beneficial herbs that the Prophet ﷺ described. The Sheikh mentioned a number of them. One of them is what is called tanbina, and this is like a soup that is made from flour. And this is good for the person who is sad or he feels sadness. There is also using the hinna. Rasulullah, if someone complained to him about some sickness that he has in his feet, he would tell him to use the hinna for his feet. Also, likewise, the one who says to him that his head is he has a headache, then he would tell him to perform hijama or cupping. He advises to use for if you have fever, to use the cold water, to pour the cold water on the parts that have fever.
كما العين هو اسمه
هذا بإيش شيخنا؟ العين وجع العين. The Sheikh said that also the Prophet ﷺ prescribed using al-kamar, this is something like mushroom, for the sickness in the eye. He said, so this kama, he said, is more resembling the potatoes than the mushroom, he said. So it's a certain vegetable. I don't know what it is. You know the name for it, the kama?
Maybe it's fungus. It's part of fungus because it's super.
It's one of those, yes, but I don't know the exact name for it. He said it's under the... It's not planted, it just comes by itself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's inside of the earth. You have to dig and take it out of the earth. Anyways, this is good for the sickness in the eye. And then Rasulullah also prescribed using the siwak for the healing and the safety of the teeth and the gums. Also, he prescribed kuhl, and he said about it, this is the black substance that is put in the eyes. He said regarding it that it grows the hair, that is of the eye, grows the hair and also clears the eyesight. It also clears the eyesight. And other than that, of the prophetic cures. Also, Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned that the black seed has a healing, there is a healing in it from every sickness. And also, he mentioned another thing that is called al-qisq, al-hindi, the Indian qisq. And he said that there is in it seven healings from seven sicknesses. Seven types of healing from seven sicknesses. And the Sheikh said that this is a very good cure for the kids who have a problem with the enlargement of the tonsils. This is a good cure for that. Now, the scholars mentioned that the principles of the prophetic medicine, they are basically, there are three principles upon which the prophetic medicine is based. The first principle is the preservation of the health, or keeping the health, guarding the health. And this is mentioned explicitly in the Quran, the Sheikh said, in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding fasting, which says what means, whoever amongst you was sick or on a journey or traveling, then fast the same number of days. Meaning that you can break the fast in Ramadan if you are sick or you are traveling, and then you make up those days later on, the same number of days that you missed, you make them up later on. So here the sick person and the traveler, fasting and a lot of movement would make him tired. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them an exemption from fasting, and this means that it will it is meant to preserve and guard and keep their health. So this is the first principle, preservation of health. The second principle is prevention from harmful things, preventing oneself from harmful things. So the Sheikh said the sick person should be barred or stopped from the things that will harm him. Once Ali radiallahu anhu was sick and he just got healed, so he wanted to eat from dates. Actually, the dates when it is in the stage of balah. Who knows the balah in English? When it is not ripe yet. You know how the dates, they start green, then yellow, then it becomes brown, and then dates. So when it is not ripe, That is when it is called like that. So he told him, alayhi salatu wasalam, he told Ali radiallahu anhu, you just got healed. So you shouldn't be eating those types of dates that are not ripe. So then he ordered him, instead of eating those unripe dates, he ordered him to eat a soup that was made of barley and the herb that resembles, it's called silk, resembles spinach. Resembles spinach.
مثلها أو قريب من السبانخ مش بالضبط هي لكن
there is this herb, I don't know the name of it in English, it's called silk, right? So it's green. So he told him, eat of this, eat of this instead of, you know, those unripe dates. Also in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about wudu he said, if you do not find water, then perform tayammum. Perform tayammum. So, the tayammum, which is basically using, it's like dry ablution or dry bathing, basically. It's a replacement for wudu and bathing. It's a replacement for using water. So the ayah says, if you do not find water, then perform tayammum out of the pure surface of the earth. Sa'idan tayyib. The sheikh said, what is meant here by not finding the water is not only that you do not, you cannot find it, that the water is not present. It's not only that. Even if you have the water and you are not able to use it, then that is included also. So here, if you are, you have the water, but if you are using it, if you're going to use it, then it will be harmful to you. Then you do not use the water. Now once again, this serves as a proof for this second principle, and that is, stopping oneself or prevention from the things that will harm the sick person. As for the third principle, then it is extracting the corrupt substance in the body. In the body, the Shaykh said here, like this, the topic of ours that we are discussing, which is cupping, bloodletting, when the blood in the body becomes a corrupt blood, then it is taken up, because if it stays in the body, it will be very harmful. The Shaykh mentioned regarding this an ayah from the Quran pertaining to pilgrimage. It says what means, the one amongst you who was sick or he had some sort of harm in his head or on his head, then fidyatun, then he would pay instead, he would make a violation of one of the violations of the ihram, and he will instead he will pay by feeding, either fasting or giving sadaqah or slaughtering. Or slaughtering, offering a sacrifice. So here, if you are in Hajj and you are sick, or you have something in your head, some sort of a harm, as we mentioned the hadith, then you can violate some of the things that are prohibited in Ihram. You can do them, and then you have as a ransom or as a replacement, you will either fast or give charity, or you will offer a sacrifice. The Shaykh said that there is one of the companions during the Hajj, and this was regarding this ayah, one of the reasons behind the revelation of this ayah, is that that Sahabi radiallahu anhu, that companion, he used to have lice in his head, and they were a lot, and they were falling on his face. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that this is happening, and he said, "Those lice, I mean these lice, they are harming you." So then he ordered him to shave his head. Now the one who is in a state of ihram, he should not be shaving his head. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to violate this matter of ihram, to shave his head. The Sheikh said, explaining that there is some sort of a corrupt substance that came out of his stomach and then went up into the head, under the skin, under the hair, and that caused these lice, or this the lice to come and to be so much on his head. So Rasulullah ﷺ told him to shave off his head. Once again, this is a proof that we should, this third principle, that we should extract or take away the bad substance that is in the body. The Sheikh said that there are 10 things that the scholars say, the scholars of medicine say that they need to be taken out from the body, they need to be extracted from the body so it will not cause harm, because if they stay, then they might cause harm. One of them is blood. The second thing is semen. The semen, if it stays in the body, it will cause harm. It may cause severe sicknesses. Also, the urine. The urine, if one cannot take it out, cannot urinate, then this also will cause harm. And in the hadith of the Bedouin Arab who came inside the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ and started urinating, Rasulullah ﷺ, when the Sahaba went to stop him, he told them, "Do not stop him. Let him finish what he is doing. Do not stop him, because stopping him might cause him some sort of sickness, failure in the kidneys or whatever problem." Also, the feces, if it is stays inside what is called constipation or inside, the Sheikh said the human being within 24 hours he needs to relieve himself from the feces maybe twice, around two times at least. If he stayed for a long time not being able to defecate, then this will gather together, those poisons and the filth in the body, and this may lead to a very dangerous type of a sickness. That is because it is filth, it is impurity, it is poison. This is why when we exit from the bathroom after relieving ourselves, we say, "Alhamdulillah, the one who pushed away from me the harm, and he has given me health." Another thing, also the fifth thing, is the gases. The gases, if they stay inside the body, then the person will be harmed. He may not be able to sleep, he might not be able to walk, he might be very much uncomfortable. Likewise, vomit. If one has this inside of his body and cannot vomit it, then this will cause him some sort of sickness, headache, or it would cause him nausea, it would cause him nausea, and like that. Another thing is al-utas, or sneezing. This air that we release when we sneeze, sneezing is a favor, is a bounty from Allah. This is why when we sneeze, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that favor, and it is from the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that automatically when we sneeze, we just naturally close our eyes. Otherwise, if we sneeze with our eyes open, then this might cause harm for our eyes. So this air that we sneeze out, this is something that is a favor from Allah. It releases the air that is inside, and it will open up the channels when we sneeze. And the Sheikh said that it was mentioned that a man was actually mashlood,
paralyzed.
Yes, and he sneezed, and then by that he was able to move and walk. Another thing, number eight, is sleeping. If one cannot sleep, then this is something that will cause him a lot of harm. Another thing is hunger. If one remains hungry, then this might cause him qurha, ulcer, or it might cause him some sort of a breakdown. And the tenth thing that may cause harm if one is prevented from it is not drinking. And if he is so thirsty, this might cause him dryness. So anyways, those ten things that the Sheikh mentioned, for one to be prevented from this might lead to a lot of sicknesses that are very harmful, that may even cause death.